والإمام سعيد سيدنا ومولانا أبي القاسم محمد.
الله صل على محمد وعلى محمد
وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله الحكيم في كتابه المتين: بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، ألم أعهد إليكم يا بني آدم أن لا تعبدوا الشيطان إنه لكم عدو مبين وأن اعبدوني هذا صراط مستقيم. صلوات على محمد وعلى آل محمد. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Yaseen, "Did we not take an oath from you, O children of Adam, that you shall not obey Shaitan? He is your open enemy, and that you shall obey me. This is the straight path." So, the subject is Shaitan and the means and tools and weapons that he uses to misguide man. We had reached this point that the first assault of Shaitan, the first weapon that Shaitan has used against mankind in history was hasad, jealousy, an enemy. That is the first weapon of Shaitan. He used, before he used anything else to destroy and deceive the children of Adam, he used this weapon. This is called hasad. One of the most potent weapons, very effective. And you see that this was used on the children of Adam. Adam had two kids by the name of Habil and Qabil. Habil and Qabil. Habil was the older brother. Qabil was the younger brother. And at that time, you had Adam and his wife, Hawa, and the two children, Habil and Qabil. Now, look at this and understand this. Habil and Qabil are there. And Allah made Habil the successor of Adam. Allah said Habil is going to be the successor of Adam. Habil could not fathom, he could not understand why. He said, "I'm the older brother. I'm older than he is. Why is he becoming the successor and not me? Why is he the representative of Adam and not me? I should be the one." You know, and hence there was a doubt. And he went and he declared this doubt to his father. The father, "Hey, listen, I'm older and I feel I'm better and I'm more qualified to be your successor. So why is he the successor? I should be the successor." The doubt was made clear to everyone, to Adam. Now, my friends, Adam, and this is Allah's way also. This is his question. Allah said, "Alright, we will answer that." I mean, this is the way of the prophets, this is the way of Allah. Allah's way is not to impose his decision on anyone. If you have a doubt, Allah won't say, "Okay, you know what? I am God, you are not, so you better just shut up and accept it." Right? That's not Allah's way. Allah never did that, nor Allah does ever do that. If you have criticism, then Allah will show you, he will prove to you wrong. He will not impose his decision. You know, if Adam was there, he said, "Then listen, I am the father. Right? I am the father. I am the dad. You have to just listen to me." He can impose himself. Now tell me, if our son, you know, if you have a son, and if he comes to you and says, you know, I don't like your decision. So now we have two ways of dealing with it. Either we prove that what he's saying is wrong, or we say, hey, I'm the father, you live in my house, as long as you are living here, you better listen to me. You know, we can say that also. We can impose ourselves on our children and say, I'm the father, you better listen to me. See, or we could say that, no, all right, you know what, let me prove to you why you're wrong. You know, there are two ways of doing this. Allah has always chosen the way of proving his enemies wrong. Never did Allah impose his decision on anyone. He will prove any time an enemy, any time anyone would have criticism of Allah, Allah will prove to them that they are wrong. And this is why you see that Adam, when Adam was made, and Allah said to the angels, وَإِذْ قَالَ رَبُّكَ لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ إِنِّي جَاعِلٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ خَلِيفَةً. Do you remember the time when Allah said to the angels that I am making a khalifa on the earth? That I'm making Adam on the earth. So what happened? The angels disputed. Hey, he said, Allah, why are you making him the khalifa? He's going to cause bloodshed. This guy is going to cause bloodshed and fitna. Why don't you make one of us? We are the ones who glorify you. We are the ones who do tasbih. We are the better ones. Right? So now when that is the case, so now Allah could have said, hey, you are the angels and you better listen to me. You are the angels, you better listen to me. I am your God. But you see, Allah's way is not that. If Allah wanted, he could have imposed his decision. But Allah said, no. I will prove to you why you are wrong. So he said, alright. He brought Adam. What was the proof? He said, here's Adam. You disputed against him. Why I made him the Khalifa? Let me prove to you now. Because you disputed. Now I have to establish this fact. That he is the Khalifa and the reason he is the Khalifa. Let me explain that word to Sayyidina Salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa
ali. My friends, understand this. Allah, if he had wanted, he could have told the angels, no way. This is my decision and you better listen to me. But you see, understand how Allah works. And he is telling us that if we are on his path, then we will also be working like that. We would also be working that. We would prove you wrong. We will not impose ourselves on you. Allah said, alright, you say that you are better than Adam. Now I am going to prove to you. And what was he said? Okay, there's going to be a competition. Right? There's going to be a competition. So the angels were like, competition? What competition? He said, well, you know, you asked for it. You know, you versus Adam. All of you together. You know, and I'm going to prove to you I made Adam the Khalifa. All the angels are together now. Jibreel, Mikael, Israfil, all of them, you know, wearing their team caps and this and that. Go angels, you know. They're all there, all together. And Allah, you know, refused. I mean, all the angels got together and made a decision. Really. They all got together and said, Adam should be the Khalifa. That Adam should be the Khalifa. All the angels. And angels are masoom. They're infallible. Friends, understand this. Allah is, in this chapter, is letting us know. He is letting us know. If all the masoom angels, if the consensus of all the angels could not make a Khalifa, how can all the human beings get together and figure
it out?
Salawat ala Muhammad. Allah is saying, all you angels, you get together, you're masoom also, sinless, and still your consensus is useless. Your ijma is useless. How is your ijma? Us, you know, we get get together to be a Khalifa, who cares? You know, understand that this is Allah is showing that to us. Allah is letting us know. So now, but when they disputed, so Allah said, alright, you know what? Now let me prove you wrong. So what did Allah do? He said, let's have a competition. What was that competition? He says, look at those names up there. You see, look at those names up there, my friends. And here, I just want to make some several points here. Just pay attention to these words. They're a little bit subtle, but I want you to understand them. There were some words. They all knew the words were there. Everyone knew it. It's like the sun. Everyone sees the sun, you know. But if I ask you, what is the sun? You know, you'd be like, big ball of fire? Is it a planet? You know. Then the issue is that we don't know. A lot of people don't know what the sun is, right? So you had names that were written there. And everyone knew the names. They all knew it's there. And all of them, they knew it all their lives. So obviously Allah said, hey, what are those names up there? Tell me about those names. So the angels all looked at them and they looked at each other. Hey, do you not know? Do you not know? You know? No one knew. They said, Ya Allah. La ilma lana illa ma allamtana. We have no knowledge except that which you give us. And we are ignorant. We don't know. All the angels, they all came to the agreement that we don't know. And then Allah, He turned to Adam and said, Adam, what are those names up there? So Adam looked at those names, said this. Adam looked at those names and he says, Hada Muhammadun wa anta Mahmud, Hada Aliyun wa anta Allah, Hada Fatim wa anta Fatir Samawati wal Ard, Hada Hassan wa anta Hussein, Hada Hassan wa anta Adimul Akbar. You know, there's some, you know, thing that we need to notice here. If you read those ayat in Surah Baqarah, read those ayat and you'll see this. Before Allah asked Adam the names, before this whole thing happened, the whole competition happened, Allah pulled Adam to the side and said, you know, Allah taught him all the names. You know, the issue is this, right? If I teach a class, let's say, if these are my students here, right? And if I pull out red pants over here, right, to one side, and say that, hey, you know what? Here's the result for all the test answers, you know? Here's the test paper, and here's the answers. And if I teach him all the answers, and then I take a test, he's coming first, right? He knows the answers. He knows the test paper. Because I told them, the rest of them don't know. And then I'm saying, you see, that's why he's better than you. Tell me, is this fair? Is this fair? I mean, really, Allah is saying in the Quran that He pulled Adam to the side and taught him all the names. And then He asked the angels, okay, now you tell me what the names are. They couldn't. Then He asked Adam, tell me what the names are. Adam told him. So now we need to say, hey, wait a minute here. There's something fishy here, you know? Something fishy over here. We need to get to the bottom of this. Why is this? I mean, how can Allah do that? Right? But I want you to understand this, my friends. No, I want you to understand this. Everyone knew the names. They all knew this is Muhammad, they all knew this is Ali, they all knew this is Fatima, they all knew this is Hassan, they all knew this is Hussein. Everyone knew that. They all were able to read. They can read and write. You know? They're able to read and write. They can read it. They know it. They know what it means. They know what it is. What Allah told Adam was the same thing that Allah had told everyone else. A
Allah told Adam that this is Muhammad, this is Ali, this is Fatima, this is Hassan, this is Hussain. He didn't say anything else. He said the same thing to Adam that he had told everyone else. My friends, now Allah says recognize why he's the Khalifa. Everyone knows the name, but it was only Adam who was able to understand what those names meant. Everyone recognized that this is Muhammad, but no one understood that Muhammad, Ali, Fatima, Hassan, Hussein are the reflection and the means towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No, I want you to understand this, my friends, what it means. Now understand this. You and me and everyone, when we walk outside of Dar al-Zahra, what do we see? Okay, a parking lot. Right? Now, beyond the parking lot, around the sides, what do we see? We see trees, bush, weeds, grass. You look at these things, right? How many times have you looked at those things? Probably every day in your life? Yeah? Right? Every day in your life you looked at them, right? The trees, this and that, all these things. Right? How many have you understood that these trees, this grass, this weed, this greenery that's around you, and all these things that are around, I'm just giving example of these things. How many of you have looked at these things and found their creator in them? Allah says that everything in the heavens and the earth is a reflection of Allah. Everything is a reflection of Allah. Everything is doing tasbih of Allah. Everything is a sign of Allah. You are a sign of Allah. By looking at you, I can reach Allah. How many of us look at these things and reach Allah? We see it every day, but we haven't recognized that this is the creation of Allah. That this is Allah's handiwork. Really, we look at paintings and we say, wow, amazing. The artist who did this must be an incredible man, right? Oh, the painter, oh my goodness, so great. I mean, we look at painting, the handiwork of a person, and we praise the person who did it. And we pay hundreds and thousands on eBay for it. Right? And you see, this art and this beauty that's around us is much better. And the reason it's better is because all those artists, they get inspiration from this work. All those artists who are painting and who are making their art, their inspiration is Allah's creation. This is their inspiration. This is what they're inspired by. We praise them, we give them money, we give them wealth and all these things. But their inspiration is Allah's work. But when we look at Allah's work, we are like, oh, this is nothing. Just we cut it off. My friends, understand this. We look at the signs of Allah, but how many of us understand the signs of Allah? That this is Allah. This was the difference. All the angels, they knew the name of Ahlul Bayt, but it was only Adam who understood that Ahlul Bayt are the wasila to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah's way is not to impose His decision, but rather to prove anyone who disputes against Him to prove them wrong. So, when Qabil came and said, listen, I don't agree with your decision, I should be the successor, not Qabil. So Adam said, alright, you know what? I will give you a fair and square chance. So, we'll have a competition. What competition? He said, it's not Jeopardy, you know? We're going to have a competition. What's going to be? He said, both of you will make an offering. Right? You have your chance now. You make an offering to Allah, Habil will make an offering to Allah, whoever's offering is better, then they will be the winner. And they will be my successor. So you disputed with me, now you have a chance to prove me wrong and to prove yourself right. This is your chance. Qabil had his chance now. He has a chance. So now, here's the competition. They bring out their offering. Whoever's offering is accepted, Allah will throw lightning on it and it will be destroyed. So if the lightning comes and it's destroyed, then he wins. So now you see, Habil, when he heard about the competition, he said, alright. He went to his house, he called his wife and said, honey, let's take out whatever good things we have. What do we have in the house that we give to Allah? So, you know, they took out all the, you know, jewelry and all the expensive things that they have in this land. They said, this is for Allah. And I'm going to give this for Allah's house. So he gave it to Allah. And Qabil, when he heard about this competition, he went back to his wife and said, hey, wifey, you know, come over here. You know what, there's going to be a competition and we have to give an offering. And, you know, it's going to be destroyed anyway, so whatever garbage we have to get out. So he took out the garbage, you know, all the garbage, clean out the garbage. It's house cleaning day, you know. So he took out all the garbage over there, everything that's worth nothing. He took all that out and brought it out. He said, it's going to be gone anyway. The lightning's going to come and destroy it. Why destroy, you know, good stuff? Let me destroy useless stuff. He brought out the worst. See this? Habil, he brought out the best. Qabil brought out the worst. Understand this? Now you understand. And obviously, lightning came on Habil's stuff and was proven. Listen, Habil, his offering is accepted. His sacrifice is accepted, not yours. Understand this? This is it. That's all that happened. Right? That's all that happened. Now let me just explain it to you. I'm going to understand this. We need to look at this example that Allah set and see ourselves in this. You all listening over there? You kids over here. Yeah. So now what happened? Salawat ala Muhammad. So now what happened is that when this guy, he gave the offering was not accepted. When you look at ourselves, look at these two examples, and I want you to understand this in our own self. Right? See in our own self what it means, my friends. And I don't know if you have seen it or not, but you might be experienced in this, or you might have seen it also, but I've seen it many times. As I said, you know, our life is mostly in the masjid. You know, we know what comes in and what goes out, where everything comes from. You know, where everything is moving, you know, this and that, you know, over here, you know, you got like for example, I Shariani here, you know, literally lives here, so he knows what comes in and what goes out and everything. So you will see that people, when they want to donate to the center, you should look at the donations that come in. Right? Now, for example, I want to donate, you know, I mean, this center needs a microwave. So what's the best way to donate? You'll see, hey, listen, you know, our microwave we have for 10 years. Let's buy a new one and give this to the center. Why not buy the new one for the center? No, the new one comes to us, the old one goes there. You see, whatever that is garbage in your house, that, you know, all the buttons, you know, there's nothing working. The only thing working is the start button, you know. Everything else is broken, you bring that to the center. This is for the center, donation. Oh, we're donating to the center. Oh, please can you give a receipt for that? And they want a receipt for it also, and they want to claim it on their tax return. Brothers, I mean, tell me, understand this, you know. Whereas, when we want to donate for Allah, when we want to give for Allah, we need to try to give what is best. The best we have, instead, no, the best comes for our house. But we want to buy a microwave, you're trying to get a used one in your house and see what your wife says about it.
Try to get a used microwave in your house and see what the wifey has to say. Oh, you got a used one, huh? I ain't gonna use someone else's microwave in my house. No way. Get that out. And you will hear it for the next few months. And you'll be reminded. Is that how you treat me? Understand that. I mean, we all have experience of that one way or another. But you see, when it comes to our house, we need to get the best. It's the stainless steel one, That's the self-cleaning one, so I don't have to clean it. The masjid has a lot of volunteers, they need to clean it. They don't have something that's working. They can fix it, they have many people that are handymen, they can do something. Understand this, look at our attitude when it comes to giving for Allah's cause. What happens when we give for Allah's cause? Look at the attitude. Friends, now understand, whose attitude is this? Is this Habil's attitude or is this Qabil's attitude? Really understand this. Allah gave the example of Habil and Qabil to understand that if you want to give nazar, if you want to give sacrifice, qurbani, if you want to give an offering for Allah, then remember, if you want it to be accepted, then remember Habil's sacrifice. If you want it to be rejected, then remember Qabil's sacrifice. Understand that? Many people say, why is our nazar not accepted? The reason it's not accepted, recognize your intention. Recognize your intention. The food that's going back, give it to the masjid, they'll eat it. But when we get food, we want it fresh, right from the oven to the table. Right? We want it that way. Understand this? What kind of attitude is this? And then we expect our nazar and our thing to be accepted. How can it be accepted when our attitude is like that of Qabil? Allah rejected Qabil's offering and told everyone, if you want it, if you want your offering and your nazar to be accepted in my court, then make sure that your intention is that of Qabil, not of Qabil. Seen it myself many times, So once we were at a place where there were beggars, there were beggars over there. And back home, like in Makkah, Hajj time, I go to Hajj there, I see a lot of beggars over there. When you go to India and Pakistan, you'll be swarmed with beggars wherever you go, you're always there, especially around the masjid. One day I was in someone's house, he was, we're having breakfast, and his little son came there, He came there, and he said, hey, daddy, daddy, I want to buy ice cream. Right? I want to buy ice cream. He said, okay, you want to buy ice cream. So, the dad said, so, okay, go ahead, buy it. He said, I don't have money, give me money. So the dad, he took out a wad of bill, big roll of bill, there are 500s, there are 100s, and all these big bills there, and also small bills. And he was looking through his wad of bills, and the son, he stretched out his hand and grabbed the 100. He grabbed, the $100 bill. Hey, let me give you that. The dad said, hey, what are you taking, Then the dad smiles. Go ahead. He said, go ahead. I said, but, he took 100 from you. He said, it's all right, it's my son, he's my son. It's all right, let him have it. Right? God, no. I said, okay, that's fine, I'm going to go by, So, we went. We were in the car, and came to a red light. And as usual, there was a swarm of beggars that came right around, all of them, right? And money. So now, again, he took out his wad of bill, and I saw the beggar looking at the wad of bill, his mouth open, it's water, I'm going to give you something big. He went through the 100s, he went through the 50s, he went through the 20s, 10s, 5, came to the 1s, and got the worst one-looking dollar bill.
he gave it to the guy, right? And the beggar, right, is looking at the wad. The $100 bills, he gives him that dirty old crumpled $1 bill and says, all right, what else do you want? Go. And the beggar is like, some more, you know? You want more? Go and work. Get a job, you know? Isn't that, he has that word.
Difficult.
5-10 advices for him. And come in for him, get a job, this and that. He gave him that, you know? And then what happened is that, you have that, but, you know, man, you're going to give it him more, you know? Maybe he needs more. He said, oh, Mara, you don't know these people, you know? These people are always like this. They don't work, they don't do anything, lazy bones, and they ask for money. That's all they're good for, you know? So, like, looking at him, I said, now, I looked at the two examples he said, and I want you to see these examples. When the son took the 100, he's like, all right with it, hey, let him have it. But when the beggar is looking for the money, no more than one comes out, let alone the 100, that's way far away. The one comes out, nothing more than that. And the reason is why? He's saying because what goes to the son stays in the house. What goes to the beggar goes away. See, what you give to the beggar goes away. What you give to the son stays in the house. You see, how Shaitan has put this ideology in the minds of these people. And their reasoning is not wrong. His reasoning is right. But the result of his reasoning is wrong. I want you to understand this. What he's saying is right. What should stay in the house, you should give more for it. What is going outside the house, give less for it. But what he doesn't understand is that what he's giving to his son is going away. What he's giving to the beggar is going to come back and help him. Understand this. What he's giving to the beggar, that's going to come back to him. What he's giving to his son is going to go away. That's not, there's no reward in that. But when you give to the beggar, Allah will give the reward back to you. You see, so instead of giving the son more, you should give the beggar more, because that's coming back to his house. That's going to protect his house. That's going to safeguard his house. That's going to give more barakah to his house. But instead he gives it to his son, thinking that this is going to stay in the house. But what you're giving here is not staying. What you're giving there is staying. And this is our mistake. Our ideology is incorrect. If we understood that by giving to the beggar, that is what's helping me, I would give there more. When I give here in my family, you have to give a wajib. No reward for it anything. Allah made it wajib when you take care of your family. But he kept rewards to give outside of your family. Right? When you want to, and you understood that, then you will give more there, my friends. Understand this. What is for Allah is always going to come back to us. When you give fi sabilillah, that is what's going to help your house. Not what you give to your children here, have some this. Or he wants a bike, give him a bike. He wants a car, give him a car. You're just spoiling him. You're not helping him. You're destroying him. You're destroying his character. Right? But when you teach him and yourself to give fi sabilillah in Allah's way, give it out in Allah's way, then you see that's going to come back to us. That's going to come back and help us, my friends. And hence understand, this Qabil sacrifice was rejected because his intention was to give the garbage to Allah. Qabil's sacrifice was accepted because he gave the best that he had for Allah. And Allah accepted that. And he has taught us, if you want your qurbani, and if you want your sacrifice and your nazar and your niyaz to be accepted, then give the best you have and you will see Allah will accept it. Allah will always accept that which you offer to Allah, that which is the best that you have. Not the garbage, you take out your garbage and give for Allah. Allah has shown that will never be accepted. He hasn't accepted with Qabil and not with you. But when Qabil's are rejected, at least now we should have understood, hey, you know what, my brother is better than me. But then it did happen. He didn't understand it. He didn't understand it and he was livid. I hate my brother. That jealousy overcame him. That envy. I hate him, you know. Friend, understand, as I said, whenever you come across someone who's better than you are, then remember, the only emotion you should encourage in yourself is to aspire to be like him, not to bring him down. Jealousy was the downfall of Qabil, the first weapon of Shaitan. It brought him down and he ended up killing his brother. My friends, hasad, this jealousy, destroys your iman. It is said by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wa sallam. He said, Al-hasad ta'kulu al-iman kama ta'kulu al-nar al-hatab. He said, Al-hasad ya'kulu al-iman kama ta'kulu al-nar al-hatab. That hasad, it eats iman, it eats your faith. It eats your faith like fire eats wood. You know, if you want to see how wood is eaten by fire, just light wood and you will see it burn. Just like that, hasad and having envy of others who are better than you will eat your iman. Hasad is that bad. And I said, hasad is a natural thing. Hasad is not a sin. The expression of hasad is a sin. Hasad and envy and jealousy is not a sin. But then the question comes, Ya Allah, if hasad is natural, and if hasad destroys faith and iman, then we are doomed. Because we will always come across people who are better than us. We'll always come across people who are more endowed than us, more talented than us. We'll always be feeling envious. And that means we'll always be destroying our faith, and our faith has already destroyed them because of this hasad that we have, because of this envy and jealousy that we have. So there must be a way out of it. We can't just be like this, there has to be a way out of it. I mean, Rasulullah, I mean, yes, the hadith is true, but how do we get out of it? So Rasulullah said, I'll give you a way out. And I'll give you a way, and I'll give you a potion, a secret. If you take that potion, then you will never have hasad in your life. You will never be jealous in your life if you take that potion. Now understand this. This is the secret that Rasulullah gave to avoid hasad. Shaitan's weapon is hasad. If you want to protect yourself from hasad, then Rasulullah is showing you the secret. Understand this secret today so you can be protected from this weapon of shaitan. What is that? My friends, hasad eats away iman. So Rasulullah, we need something by which iman can grow. And if iman is growing, then no matter how much hasad will eat, iman will always be there. So we need a potion for that. And so Rasulullah gave that potion. He called Imam Ali and said, Ya Ali, hubbuka iman. Ali, your love is iman. In other words, anyone who has your love will never have hasad and jealousy in his heart. The secret of fighting hasad and envy is the love of Ahlul Bayt. If you love Ahlul Bayt, you will never be jealous in your life. You will never be envious in your life. You will never have hasad in your life if you love Ahlul Bayt. Oh my friend, understand this. Many people, you know, there are some people who complain to me and said, Maulana, we know many people, you know, who love Ahlul Bayt and they still have hasad. I said, the hadith is not wrong. The hadith is true. Those who love Ahlul Bayt will never have hasad. They need to check their love to make sure that their love is true. You see, their love, if it's true, then they will never have jealousy in their life. But if their love is not true, then hey, you know, that's a whole different story. Right? Because if you love Ahlul Bayt, if you love Ali, then you will never have jealousy in your life. And I'll give you the reason for it also, my friends. I'll give a reason for you also, so that you understand. Understand? I then said, hasad is when you come across someone who's better than you. You see, that's when hasad comes. If someone is worse than you, you don't have jealousy of someone who's worse. You see, you only have jealousy of people who are better. If you see someone is more talented than you, then you feel jealous of him. But if someone is worse than you, you feel like, I'll teach him. You know. I mean, anything. You know, like, for example, you play basketball. If you play basketball, you know, yes, I mean, like, for example, if you come across an NBA player, if you come across, like, you know, Kobe Bryant, you know, then you'll be, like, you know, ashamed all the time you play, you know? You know, he'll be, like, humiliating you all the time, right? But if you come across some other, you know, other guy from the Muslim who doesn't know he's worse than you are, you like Michael Jordan in front of him, you know? Right? Now you wouldn't feel jealous of him, you know? You're worse than me, I hate you for that, you know? Nonsense that. It's unnatural. Jealousy is only when you have come across someone who's better. And my friends, understand this. We have never seen, and you will never see, a rich man be jealous of a poor man. You know, I mean, you will never come across a rich man who is jealous of a poor man. You know, like, for example, you see someone poor and say, I hate you because you're so poor. You know, I just hate his guts because he's so poor, you know. You know, it makes no sense. It makes no sense. You always are envious of those who are richer. You are never envious of those who are poorer than you are. Understand it? Jealousy is only when you come across those who are richer, those who are better. Understand this? If someone is poor, then you don't become jealous of him. My friends, understand this. Those who love Ahlul Bayt, they have recognized that the wealth that they have, no one else in this world has. And this treasure that they have, no, they know that they are wealthier than everyone else. And once you are wealthier than everyone else, why would you be jealous of them? You see, if you have all the wealth, which is the treasure of Ahlul Bayt, then you won't be jealous of anyone else. That's why if you have Ali's wilayah, then there's no need to be envious of anyone else, because you have the best that the world can offer you. Understand this? That's why if you love Ali, if you love Ahlul Bayt, you will never be jealous of anyone else. Because you recognize that this is a treasure, that, you know, there is no other treasure in this world that could be equal to this. Nothing could be equal to this. That's why you see there's no jealousy in those who love Ahlul Bayt. They have no jealousy, they have no hasad. And this is the secret of protecting yourself. If you understood who Ahlul Bayt are and love them through recognition, then you would know that you are richer than everyone else that walks on this earth. And you look at them as being poor. That's why you see mansions and you'll be laughing at them and say, how poor are you? Really. In fact, we saw the other way around. When it came to Ahlul Bayt, we saw the other way around, where even those who were rich, they were envious of the poor. You know, Mansur Dawaniki. You know who Mansur Dawaniki is? He was one of the Khalifa of the Abbasi rulers. One of the first Khalifas of the Abbasi ruler. Mansur Dawaniki. Right? The name Dawaniki means the one who dies for money. Right? Means the one who dies for money, one who kills himself for money. This is Dawaniki. So imagine Mansur Dawaniki, you know? This Mansur Dawaniki, he came there to, he met Imam Jafar Sadiq alayhi salam. And he said that, why don't you meet me? Why don't you meet me? Right? And why didn't you meet me? Because you see all the other people come and meet me. mean, you know, they are afraid of me. Why aren't you afraid of me? Understand this, right? What he asked, he said, hey, all the other people are afraid of me. Now I am the king, the emperor. Why aren't you afraid of me? First, he recognized the fact that the imams aren't afraid of me. Right? He asked him the question. The imam replied back to him and said that, listen, why should I be afraid of you? I don't have the dunya that I'm afraid of losing, and you don't have the deen I'm afraid of not finding. Understand that, you know? I mean, I don't have any dunya that I'm afraid of losing to you. I have no dunya. And you have no deen that if I don't find it, I'll be lost in the hereafter. You have no deen. So why should I be afraid of you? You know, and then right away Mansoor realized that, you know, that was a very dumb question for him to ask. He wasn't right, you know, why aren't you afraid of me, you know? You know, so right away he changed his tone a little bit and he said, no, what I mean by that is that why don't you meet me like the rest of the people? You know, you should come also, you know, I mean, you should meet me like the rest of the people. So the Imam replied to him and said, again, I want you to understand this, first my friends. You know, listen to the reply of the Imam and then understand the situation, right? The Imam replied to him and said, tell me, those who love religion will never want to meet you, and those who love dunya would never want to advise you or be near you. Because if you love dunya, by advising you, they'll be killed. Right? So they won't do that. And if they love deen and akhirat, they won't want to be around you because you have nothing to do with that. But you see, Imam doesn't want to meet Mansoor. It is Mansoor who's saying that, listen, at least come and advise me, meet me. You see, Mansoor, who is an emperor, who has all that wealth, who has armies, who has power and everything, he wants to meet the Imam. Imam has no liking to meet Mansoor. What is that showing? It is showing that those who have all this wealth of this world are envious of those who have other things. Because what they can't understand is this, my friends, and just know this, and I'll end my speech here. Understand this one. What they don't understand and what they cannot comprehend and fathom is this, that how is it that we have everything but we are depressed and they have nothing but they're happy? That's what they don't understand with Shias. That's what they don't understand with the lovers of Ahlul Bayt. We have world, we have mansions, we have power, we have nuclear weapons, but we are depressed. We are taking antidepressant. Our whole country is on antidepressant. And here you are going through fastings and with all those horrible economies and this and that. You have families, you have life, you are happy. We cannot comprehend this fact. And the reason they don't understand that is because this is the love of Ahlul Bayt that has given us the treasure where we understood that if we don't have any of this dunya, we are still happy because we have the greatest treasure. This is, my friends, the shield against hasad. You have the love of Ahlul Bayt, you don't need anything else. Nothing is useful. Nothing is worth it. When you have the love of Ahlul Bayt, then you will see your heart is so rich and your life is so rich, even though you have nothing in this dunya. This is that shield against hasad. And we need to acquire that shield if we want to be protected from shaitan's assaults. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the tawfiq and the blessing to be on the right path. Give us the wisdom to understand his guidance, hasten the reappearance of the Imam, and his offering comes. Salaam.